Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Woodruff. Welcome to the Pastors Getting Fit podcast. On today's episode, I interview Jared Elliott, and he and I discuss just the role of discipline in the day-to-day life of somebody trying to pursue fitness goals and how finding something that you love, or at least at first don't hate, plays into that. Before we jump into that, three quick things. Number one, there is a Pastors Getting Fit Facebook group. If you have Facebook and you would enjoy being part of a little online community of pastors who are also pursuing their fitness goals and everything that comes with that, just search Pastors Getting Fit in your Facebook search bar, same name as the podcast, and request to join. I will approve you. Secondly, if you are enjoying this podcast or you just hear this episode and enjoy it, if you would just share it with another pastor that you know and or review it wherever you listen to podcasts, that would help me tremendously in being able to kind of make some more progress on my mission of helping a whole bunch of pastors get it to a place where they can just work out of better physical health that affects kind of everything else as well. That would help a lot and I'd appreciate it. And number three, I'm an online fitness coach. So if you ever find yourself in a place where you are, you know, not sure what to do, you know, whether that's at the beginning, you're not sure how to get started with your fitness stuff, or you've tried things and it hasn't worked, or you've been making some progress, but now you're stuck, and whatever's holding you back, whether it's not knowing what to do, not having enough accountability, whatever that may be, whatever your obstacles are, just shoot me a text, 251-635-8055. We will just set up a time to chat. I'm not going to do any weird like sales tactics or send you like 100,000 emails or anything like that. We're just going to chat on the phone or even in Messenger, wherever you feel comfortable. And if it's a good fit for us to work together, we will. If it's not, then at the very least, I'll at least be able to point you in the right direction and give you something broad to kind of focus on. So anyway, hope you guys really enjoy this episode. Let me know what you think. All right. What's up, everybody? And welcome to the Pastors Getting Fit podcast. Today, I've got Jared Elliott. So Jared, why don't you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Yeah, my name is Jared Elliott. I'm the lead pastor of Village Creek Baptist Church in Newport, Arkansas. It's a metropolitan area, a place where, I mean, we literally have thousands and thousands of people, I think around 7,000 people total. we were formerly a church campus from Central Baptist Church in Jonesboro, Arkansas, which literally is by our standards, a metropolitan area.
Yeah. But,
we were a church plant of them, and we were kind of a Delta community is what they call it down here. And, yeah. Took this church that died, and we basically planted this church that we have now. Now we're autonomous. And so I'm the lead pastor, and we're pastor led, multiple pastors, and have a family of three total with us. So I have a wife named Krista, and my son is Ethan, who is 7, and whoever else the Lord wants to give us. And yeah. So we're just enjoying life, man, yeah. Down here.
Anybody listening that wants to come to Arkansas?
Yeah, come on down. Come on down. Yeah. I mean, literally, you look up, if you go on Google Maps and look at Village Creek Baptist Church in Diaz or Newport, Arkansas, you'll be like, you'll see grain bins and the church. There's nothing for like 2 miles. So.
That's so funny, man. Wow.
But it's good. It's good. It's going really well.
Yeah. Cool, man. So like, you know, as if anybody's been listening to this, you kind of already know the direction we're going to take it. So I asked Jared, you know, kind of what he wanted to talk about for the podcast, and just to kind of give him mostly a platform here to discuss kind of what he's passionate about and has something to say about. And he chose discipline and the importance of finding an exercise plan you love. So why don't you, before we kind of jump into the conversation, just kind of share like why that's what you want to talk about.
Well, I mean, you know, who doesn't want to look like Stephen Furtick? Maybe not the best theology, but hey, the best body possible for pastors.
Yeah.
No, I think I chose that topic because it's heavy on my mind. I'm a person that, man, I'm ashamed to admit it, but it's true, naturally lazy. I like to be slothful. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people do, but. Yeah. You know, it's something, you know, with being a ministry, man, whenever there's not somebody breathing down your neck telling you what the next thing is on the action list, it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's a natural byproduct. So Yeah. I think about this a lot because I have to discipline myself. And so that principle from Paul to Timothy, you know, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, man, I take that pretty seriously. So yeah, it's been heavy on my mind a lot.
Yeah. What about the finding something you love piece of it? Kind of the,
man, that's been like, you know, I've always been interested in mixed martial arts. Like at 13,
yeah,
my you know, one of your podcast guests was talking about,
yeah, Troy,
yeah, talking, yeah, about stretching in MMA, and I was like, man, yeah, that's right up my alley. So
yeah,
I really when I was 13, I started Taekwondo, and I was doing it like twice a week. Really loved it. Taekwondo was like a lot of kicks and stuff like,
yeah,
that. So I just enjoyed it. And then it just kind of fell apart. I took flying lessons after that, you know, so that was kind of my thing because it cost so much money. So
yeah,
that's the only thing I could do. No football, no sports, no anything in school. Wow. So, but after that, probably in high school, into college, I got into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for a little while, which is, you, yeah, know, wrestling, yeah, mixed with some, you know, some chokes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Once I picked up back into strength training, I saw that there was a punching bag, a heavy bag, over in the corner, and I was like, man, I'm gonna start hitting that thing.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it, and the guys were like, dude, you need some wraps and you need some gloves, man. You can't just be hitting the thing bare, you know, barehanded.
Yeah.
So I bought actually for Christmas, one of my Christmas gifts. It was kind of a gag gift, but I actually still use them. My father-in-law, he bought me some what we would call some UFC gloves, little, yeah, 4-ounce gloves. So, man, yeah, I've just been loving that. And it is, that's really awesome. Like, seriously, it is hard for me to go in the gym. Like, I used to love doing deadlifts. I hated deadlifts when I first started, but I love deadlifts now. And now it's like I can't wait to get my deadlifts through, yeah, my pull-ups and chin-ups through, so that I can go hit that heavy bag.
Yeah, that's the part you look forward to the most.
Oh, yes. I look forward to it all the time. Like, I get that's excited awesome. About it. That's I get so cool. excited about working out. That is, like,
yeah,
super weird for me. So,
yeah, that is cool, man. If you find something like that, that's huge. I, when I was, like, a teenager, we had a punching bag, like a heavy bag like that, hanging out in the backyard. And I remember one day, I don't remember what I got so mad about, but I was just furious, and I just went out there and, like, wore that thing out bare-fisted, and I just was like, my hands were just destroyed for weeks. Like, that was the only time I've done that. Never do it again. Dude,
you can do some serious damage, but you know what? Yeah. You can do some serious damage to people that you picture.
As yeah. Way. Yeah, that's true. You put somebody's face on there.
But I can neither confirm nor deny that I do that, so.
Yeah. That's hilarious, man. I want to see a video of this. So I just want to kind of dig into this a little bit. So let's talk it about sort of the discipline piece first. And they'll probably kind of dovetail a little bit here. But so with the discipline, so now you found something, right? Like, you found something that you're excited about and that you actually, like, want to do. But as you mentioned, like, maybe that's not always your natural inclination. So where did you kind of start when it came to, like, you know, what was kind of the turning point for you when it got, have you just always, like, you know, from a young age, since you were in martial arts, has kind of, like, some kind of exercise routine just always been a piece of your life? Or was there a kind of a time where there wasn't anything going on like that?
Man, it was, I've always been, I remember, like, when I was right at 13, right before I started Taekwondo, my dad looked at me one day, and I was always kind of a chunky kid, and my dad looked at me one day, and we're all barrel-chested guys in our family, and he takes his fist, and he was never really a physically harmful person, but he bumped me in the chest real hard, and he goes, boy, you're getting thick. And I thought, well, golly, is that you calling me fat? So I took it as you know, a compliment, I guess. And but ever since then, man, it just kind of propelled me into, like, I just enjoyed thinking, man, I could actually look like one of the guys on these games that I play or something. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird fantasy. I'm 14 years old, you know, but
I think all of us thought that at some point.
I could look like Batman and jump off roof someday.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I always worked out during high school. When I say that, it was like I did the bench press and curls and maybe a few pull-ups, and I called it working out, but I never had a systematic approach to it, or I never really cared about my legs or anything, because my legs are always kind of thick, or, you know, I just never really cared about it. Yeah. I just wanted the look. And so it's kind of full of vanity at that point. But what's changed now that I'm in my 30s, my brother, two years ago, right at Thanksgiving, I showed up to my mom's house, and my brother was there, and he had really just kind of toned up. And me and him are built kind of similar, but he's taller than I am. And I just noticed that he thinned up, but he still had some bulk to him. And I said, "Man, you look good, dude." Yeah. And he said, "Yeah, you looked at my Facebook lately?" And he used to make fun of us for having Facebook, but now he's like all over it, you know. And,
yeah.
He had these videos of him working out, and I said, "What are you doing that for?" He said, I'm putting them on Facebook because it keeps me accountable." And yeah. I said, "Dude, I don't even know how does that work?" He goes, "Because all the guys at my work," he works at a steel mill, and he said, "All of my guys at my work, they see me working out. If I start getting fat again, they're going to start calling me out for it."
Yeah.
So I was like, "Man, that's a great idea."
That is smart. Yeah.
So that's kind of what launched it for me. I was like, "Man, I want to join in on that." And that's a good motivator for me, because at the time I was probably the most unhealthy I'd probably ever been.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So that was kind of like kind of what spurred you into like this phase of it, like the lifting and strength training and all that.
Yeah, that was when I knew, because I could see the difference between him and I, and I had that, man, if he could look that good in a short amount of time, because that was just between September and Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
he looked totally different.
Yeah. It's amazing, man. When you're consistent with it, it's amazing how quickly you can see some results, you know. So how long ago was that?
That's a little over 2 years ago now. It's going to be 3 years maybe this November. If my wife was here, she'd be going, "No, 2 years." But, after that, I'll tell you, man, the key, because you asked about discipline, that was the hinge for me. But, man, I found that the discipline after that was just simply showing up, showing up. Just making sure that you showed up at the gym to do what you were supposed to do.
Yeah. So was that something that was pretty easy for you? Like, are you kind of like somebody when you're like, "Okay, I've set my mind to this. I'm going to go to the gym, three times a week or whatever." Do you just do it, or is it kind of more like a slow grind getting into it?
Man, it was seriously, like, I think one of the biggest most helpful concepts for me was like Robbie Gallaty. He's got a podcast called Making Disciples.
Yeah.
And he talks a little bit about it, and it's keystone habits. One small habit that snowballs into other habits.
Yeah.
My goal when I would show up at the gym was first, because I went to a friend's gym, and all they had was like a bench press and a tower and a squat rack, and it was all old equipment. And so when we showed up, it was just get there. And, don't worry about what you're going to do and how hard it's going to be and how much you're going to be sore and how hungry you are. Just show up, do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's what really snowballed it and kept me in line at first. That's why I'm still faithful today.
Yeah. Yeah. You said we, was there somebody, did you have somebody working out with you?
I did. I had my wife. She was
oh, nice.
Accountability partner.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Yeah. I've done an episode on accountability, so I won't rehash that too much, but I think that sometimes when you're first starting, that can be a big piece of it too, getting somebody there who, like, it's kind of like, okay, they're depending on me to go to, And if it's a spouse, that's awesome. Or like if it's a friend, whatever, if you have somebody,
You and I both know if it's your wife, you can flex to her and quote unquote, impress her with, "Hey, look at this progress." And she's like, "Dude, I live with you every day. It doesn't look any different."
Yeah, that's the worst. Like, just go on a trip for a week or two and then come back. Like, really push it hard on that trip, Oh, man, I know what you mean. It's that slow, like, there are, like, people I coach, and, like, one of the best indicators of progress is, like, when they are like, "Hey, I just saw this person I haven't seen in, in a month or whatever," and they're just, they notice improvements. Like, one of my guys just told me that today. Like, and that's always, to me, like, I value that so much over like the scale or even like, necessarily measurements, just because, I mean, that just, that means it's true. If somebody just out of the blue says that, but yeah, man, unfortunately, like, our wives see us every day. So, I mean, yeah, I'm with you. So, like, it's a big motivator, and you might be motivated to try to push even a little more weight if it's your wife.
I don't know, man. I don't know if it's very motivating whenever I try to do that with my wife and she goes, it's not really that much different,
Yeah.
I'd be like, "Look at these jeans, they're fitting. Look at that." And she's like, "Oh, that's cool. That's great."
just like write your numbers in like a really obvious place, like, and watch them go up, you know, like on the refrigerator with like dry erase marker or something. Like, it just chart your progress.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, man, that's really cool. I mean, I love that idea. I've started only recently listening to that podcast, The Making Disciples, and I haven't heard that one yet. So that's
really good. It's really good.
I think that, you know, one thing that a lot of people struggle with is when they decide, you know, or they at least think they've decided that they're going to jump into a fitness routine or a program or whatever. Even if they have a plan picked out, they might get to a place where they're like, okay, I need to go work, you know, I need to go to the gym. And they might have a certain amount of time that they're planning to, you know, to do it too, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday or whatever. And whatever the case may be, they're going to start doing that. And then they start feeling like they'll plan it. And even that day, they might take their stuff to work, whatever, their gym clothes to work with them or whatever. But then like something comes up. And so it starts to show kind of that difference between somebody who has gotten to a point where they are wanting to do it and somebody who's actually prioritized it. And like, they've put it on their calendar. They've told people like, this is what I'm doing. So the time's protected, things like that. But like, if somebody is kind of really struggling to like be consistent with it, is there anything that you would say that you feel like might help them kind of take that next step, like kind of almost like elevate the status of it, you know, in their lives a little bit? Anything you would?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, whenever it comes to putting it on your calendar, you make that point a lot, you know, that whatever gets on your calendar, because I also follow another podcast. I know a lot of information comes at me from this guy named Michael Hyatt, and he's a leadership guru.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's said this over and over, and it's stuck in my mind. Whatever gets scheduled gets done.
Yeah.
And so that made me be more intentional with my time. So I thought, you know, if I just put it on my calendar, which it seemed really stupid at the time, like gym, 4 o'clock, gym, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously I'm gonna go to the gym, but when you put it on there, because at 3 o'clock, you're going to get a phone call and people are going to be like, hey man, you won't come over tonight? Or, hey, would you care if I showed up at your office at 5 o'clock for 5 minutes? It turns into an hour. And, you know, so what you do is when you've got that commitment, you block that time.
Yeah.
And nobody can interrupt that. And so, you know, people scoff at you, you know, they'll scoff at you at that for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, gym is supposed to be this free time, you know, you should be able to give up gym time at any time.
Right.
No, if you're taking your health seriously, you can't.
Yep. And that's something, man, obviously, like, we're talking primarily to pastors here. You know, it's so easy to put that on the back burner and just be like, you know, like, the meeting with this person is more important or whatever. And you know, of course there are certain situations where that is going to be the case. You know, if somebody walks into your office and they're like, oh, my sister just, you know, became hospitalized or whatever, you're not just going to be like, I gotta go do deadlifts, you know. But
sorry, I mean, it's leg day.
Yeah, exactly. but I mean, those kind of situations, being realistic, are more few and far between than I think a lot of us like care to admit. So I think, you know, what I like to tell people is, like, barring an emergency, block that time out, plan it. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna beat a dead horse here, because I've mentioned this before, but I think with discipline, so one other thing I kind of wanted to mention, kind of with the discipline thing here, I've heard people talk about like how discipline should be prioritized over like motivation, you know, and I've heard other people kind of like flip that and say motivation over discipline. And what they mean when they say that, you know, the discipline is kind of what we're already talking about, the grind of like, even if I don't want to do it, even if other things are competing for my attention, I'm going to be at the gym from this time to this time. And, you know, you can take this and apply it to food as well. You know, like, I'm going to be, whatever your food strategy is, like, this is how you're planning this consistently. But then the motivation is more like, you know, it's almost like you're riding these random waves that just show up in your life, like based on something you saw or something that somebody said to you, or like your dad punches you in the chest and says you look thick,
get,
you know,
thick, whatever boy. It is.
Like, those kind of situations, like, there's stuff that, you know, maybe the doctor says something to you, you know, about your weight, or maybe like, you know, maybe you see somebody else, you know, whatever it is, all these different things that like can give you motivation. And I think a lot of times people get to this place where they're it's almost like they're waiting for the next wave to come so that they can hop on and like ride that wave, like, you know, and then when that wave kind of fizzles out, they, you know, they go kind of go back to where they were until the next one comes. And I think that I think personally that the key is to find like a point in the middle of that. You know what I mean? You can't,
that's right.
You can't be so like, you can't be so disciplined that it becomes an obsession. Like, and if you can't, you can't go on vacation for a week without like, you know, feeling like, oh man, like I'm losing my gains, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But if you, you know, that, I mean, and I, to be honest, like that has been a struggle of mine. Like sometimes if that happens, if I'm gone for a week or whatever, I'm like freaking out a little bit because I'm so used to working out. And I think
I'm gonna get flabby when I get back.
Yeah. Like I think that to a degree is like unhealthy. But I also think that like when you wait for that motivation to come, like it can sometimes those waves can be a long time in between. Sometimes they last for a while. Sometimes they're really short lived. And I think that if you can develop some kind of consistency, you know, you're talking about, was it your brother you said who that you had the transformation there? I think that,
yeah,
you know, when you see a transformation like that, that means somebody found a decent program. It might not even be like an amazing workout program, but they found a decent program. They did something with their food and they like were consistent with it. The consistency is the biggest piece, you know? And so yeah, you just have to find that, that kind of,
well, see, I'm a researcher, you know, and my brother's probably more in the vein or the category of when he finds the motivation, he rides that wave for however long it lasts. But like right now, he's come off of it.
Yeah.
And so he's gained his weight back and more, and he'll tell you, he'll be the first one to tell you, dude, I'm like the most heavy I've ever weighed in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and he misses it. So for me though, on the front end, mind is I can be paralyzed by analysis, like okay, I found out my TDEE and now I figured out how many calories I can have a day and now I got to worry about my macros, and you can get paralyzed in that, you know, because I did for a little while, but it's like that investment principle. If I invest here and if it's slow starting out, it's going to pay off in the long run if I just stay consistent with it. And so for discipline, like when you're asking about discipline and motivation. So like motivation, I think motivation is good for whenever I'm on the squat rack and I hate leg day.
Yeah.
I hate leg day.
Yeah.
And I want to get my squats in. I'm going to get my leg press in and I call that leg day. I don't want to do lunges. That's how much I hate it.
Yeah.
But I know how vital, you know, squats are. Mm-hmm. So I do my squats and I come in going, I'm going to do my best, man. And if I don't do more weight, cause I do a progressive overload.
Yeah.
I think it's what it's called. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I do heavy lifts, 3 sets, you know, 80% of my max, 6 reps, you know, and I'm out of there. I'm out of the squat rack.
Yeah.
No calf machine, no nothing. And, I believe in compound movements. I'm just convinced.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, because I'm going to the heavy bag because I want to hit that heavy
bag.
But you know, when it comes to motivation, man, like my motivation at the time, whenever I'm squat racking or I'm up at the squat rack and I've had a long day and I don't feel like doing it, is, hey, remember the investment. Remember the investment. You know, just get this over with. Get this over with.
Yep.
But then there are some days when you come in and you're like, dude, look at my quads, bro. Look at them gains.
Yeah. So,
you know, then you do those and you're proud of that and you got some energy in you and you know, it's a good day.
Yeah.
So I would say that you're right, man. Coming to the middle is the key to discipline. Discipline is what keeps you in the long run through the hard days. And it also, discipline is the cap that keeps you from getting too high on the mountain.
Yeah.
You know, it keeps you long term.
Definitely. Definitely, man.
And I'll tell you this too, in that same vein, not to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No, I was interrupting you.
Well, you know, nutrition, like when I first started strength training, my brother's tagline was, I was like TDEE and calorie intake and macros, bro. You got to know that. And Justin's like, no, man, look, listen, eat like a lion, live like a lion, lift like a lion. You know?
That's awesome.
And I thought, okay, well that, and you know what he's saying? He's saying eat plenty of meat.
Right.
Eat vegetables that you need to and protein, but don't just worry about chicken. Eat those greasy protein.
Yeah.
You know, he coined the term, or maybe some other people have been saying it, but he said, man, sometimes you got a dirty ball. You
know? Yeah.
Eat the pizza.
But, yeah. That's hilarious, man.
He's a funny dude, man. Me and him have a lot of fun with it. But
that's right.
you know, with discipline with that, man, it's hard because I'm a picky eater.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to vegetables, man, here's how I do it. I blend it with strawberries and bananas and blueberries and throw the kale in there, and then I throw a protein, a scoop of protein powder in there.
Yeah.
And that was one little keystone habit that changed everything for me.
Yeah. Yep. That's so awesome, man. And that brings up – let me really quick, I'm going to define a couple of things you threw out there just in case anybody is unfamiliar. Like if I say a term or somebody else says a term that I'm somebody new to fitness or whatever. So TDEE is the total daily energy expenditure. It just means how many calories like you burn already a day, like through your general activity, you know, through everything that you do, like the things that your body does. So like in order to burn more calories, in order to lose weight, rather, you need to like burn more than that. In order to gain it, you need to eat more.
That's
when it comes to the macros, you're talking primarily about like protein, carbs, and fat. Like that's just like the biggest things we absolutely like need in our diet. Technically, water is also a macro, but you know, it's not really helping us out with the gains here. I mean, it does. compound movements would be like, you know, your big lifts, like the bench press, the overhead press, deadlift, squat, the things that work like compound muscle groups, you know, a large group of muscles. Think about like a deadlift where you're picking a bar up off the ground versus like, you know, and like really like engaging pretty much every muscle in your body versus like a bicep curl, which is more of an isolation movement because it's really just targeting that one, you know, movement of bringing your elbow, you know, your wrist, like your hand up, like toward your elbow. So, and progressive overload would be basically you're just trying to do more weight and or reps every time, you know? So if you're going in there and you're doing like, you know, if you do 135 bench press this time, you want to try to do 140 next time. People just like, there are people in gyms all over the world who for years, they're so consistent with it, but they go in and do the same weight and the same reps. And that's fine if that's just what they want to do. But most of the time people do that just because they don't know any better and they don't understand the progressive overload principle, which is like, that's how you get stronger. That's how you build muscle. And you might be thinking if you're on the weight loss side of this, that this stuff doesn't apply to you. But like when you build muscle, you are increasing your lean body mass, which automatically increases your metabolism, which automatically makes you burn more calories. So like it is a huge help, and it's a
dude, it's a win-win.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And so, yeah, man, sorry for the little dictionary session there, but I just like to make sure everybody knows what we're talking about. And so
it's totally necessary.
I think what you just said, though, you know, kind of is a good segue into the second piece of it where you're talking about, you know, finding something that you like. Because like you just said, you know, when you started doing that with the vegetables and stuff, that was like a big thing for you. And the same thing like you said earlier, like you enjoy certain exercises like deadlifts and now the heavy bag. One reason that you're able to stay consistent with it is because you found things that work for you. You're not trying to do like what somebody's, you know, your coworker Betty or your uncle or whoever like that is giving advice, you know, like I think people so often default to whatever like the loudest voices in their life when it comes to like fitness or health or nutrition or whatever. So if they have somebody who's like really loud and a little obnoxious about keto, or if they have like a CrossFitter in their life or whatever it is, I'm not hating on those things. I'm just saying like these are people who have a tendency to be very vocal about what they're doing. And when that happens, you know, like I did CrossFit for 2 years. Like I definitely see the benefit in that. Like, I don't do keto. I've never done keto. I love my carbs like way too much, and my lifts would be horrible.
Amen.
Threw them away. But I
it's
think
in that, the Bible, man. You know, it's in Second Hesitations chapter 1, bro.
Yeah.
You shall eat carbs. A lot of them.
Oh, that's great, man. But I think that like when you can remove yourself from what everybody else is saying, and you can find those things that are going to drive you, and you might not think that there's any exercise you're going to enjoy. You might think like any of it sounds miserable, but that's not, you know, you're going to find something that you do like, or at least don't hate. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Listen, it is like if I miss a day at the gym, or like last week, I'm just coming off the end of a sinus infection, the first one I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
And it really just felt terrible. Yeah, thanks, man. I'm glad to be through it. But you know, I missed a week, and it's different. It's different when you miss a week for vacation rather than missing a week being sick. Because when I came back, one of the guys, the buddies at the gym, he said, "Hey, man, go slow and go easy." Yeah. And I'm like, "Bro, listen to me, man. I'm ready to be back here." But he was spot on. I was weak.
Yeah.
And so, you know, finding something that you love, man, is very important.
Yeah.
I think I interrupted you on that. But
No, I'm glad, man. I want you to interrupt when you got something to say. This is your episode. I'm just here every time.
It's cool. Go ahead.
I think that is so key. And I mean, you know, I think like one of the most common questions that like I get, whether it's somebody I'm working with or just somebody on social media or whatever, is like, is this food bad? Like, or is this food good? And I actually like really hate that question because it automatically tells me that somebody has in their head just these like really restrictive things that they're not typically going to be able to sustain for the long term, or if they are able to sustain it for a long term, they're going to be miserable doing it. So like, if you can find things that you like, and I've shared this before, my strategy is more of like that typical like 80-20 approach. Like I make all of my staples and the things that I have like every day, like, you know, and that I keep around the house and all that kind of stuff, they are like whole, clean, like, you know, if you want to say clean, like whole foods, like basically just things that have one ingredient, you know, things that you can find in nature. But the other 20, man, like I'm having popcorn, I'm having donuts, I'm having, you know, like we have a pizza night on Fridays, like with wings, like I'm just like, I have no problem with that kind of stuff. So when somebody's like, you know, I can't have this or that, like, I hate that because that tells me, like, now I will say there are some people for a season who do need to cut out certain things because they can't handle moderation, and that's fine. Like when I first started coaching, yeah, I was all about like, you know, moderation for everybody. But then I came to realize pretty quickly, there are some people who, if they have like, they are not going to have one of something, they're going to have a lot of something if it's there. So for them, it's better to not have it. I'm not saying that, you know, there are times that that's the case, but over the long term, you don't want to tell yourself, I'm never going to have that again. Or, you know what I mean? I think that
you can't do that.
Yeah. And that's, and people do it. Like people do that a lot. And so, you know, I think that it's just, if you can find something that you can sustain. And so when it comes to like, you know, when you said like, we could talk about discipline or we could talk about finding something you love. Like to me, naturally, those two things go together because you are going to be more disciplined with something you enjoy more. You know what I mean? And so,
well, yeah. And who loves to come home, especially as a pastor? Yeah. Like my brother, I'll share this. This is a convicting thing. Mm-hmm. You know, just this was on vacation this year on the beach. One of our last nights, and me and my brother having a kind of a deeper conversation, and I don't think he's a believer. And so one of the things he had asked me about was my routine and things like that, and we talked about it. And he said, you know, man, there's nothing I can't respect a guy that wants to talk to me about my soul and can't control himself at a buffet.
Oh.
You know, and I thought, golly, man, that's stout. He's yeah. like, how are you going to tell me how to live my life and then, you know, you can't control yourself at the table? And yeah. I thought, man, that's true, because that gluttony is very easy to do. Yeah. And even whenever you are, like I had my cheat day yesterday, mm-hmm. you know, or my cheat meal, really. And I had my yeah. cheat meal, and I think I was guilty of gluttony, and I felt conviction to repent of that. But, you know, when it comes to that, like I'd say for me, man, like for maybe some of your listeners, like, you know, maybe thinking, what's the first step for me? If I really want to hone in on my diet, man, just start small and download yeah. MyFitnessPal.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll be an eye opener alone, just you keeping track of what you eat. And you have to be honest with yourself. You know, you have to be on, like, when you eat a donut and it's from Shipley's and it's a glazed donut, or like if you get a kolache from Shipley's, don't go in there and just type in, well, I had a glazed, you know, generic donut.
Right. No,
type in Shipley's, type in kolache, and don't skip out. You know, you
yeah.
need to make sure that you say, I ate a whole one.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if it's 700 calories for breakfast and your TDEE, you know, yeah. your allowance for the day is 2300.
Yeah.
Bro, you've really etched up a lot of your day.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
that was a first step for me. And then getting that under wraps, and
yeah.
then moving on to macros took like a year for yeah. me to actually think about, honestly, from a standpoint mm-hmm. of objectivity. You know, here's
yeah.
how many macros I need to have in a day
yeah.
out of those 2300 calories.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, man. Like you said, I mean, finding that first step is something that's huge. Like, that's another thing I think people just paralyze themselves when they try to change everything at once. You know, like I've seen one or two people like who are wired to do that. Like, it's almost as though they flip a switch and like their lives look different from like Tuesday to Wednesday because they made a decision. But those people are like one in a million. All the rest of us, myself included, are very much like, I need to focus on something and build this and then move to the next thing. And so like, you know, like you just said, that could mean downloading. That's actually a really awesome first step, is downloading MyFitnessPal, which is like a calorie counter. You just put that. I know it sounds like horrible. You think like, oh, I don't want to track calories. Like nobody wants to do it. You know what I mean? But it's
absolutely necessary. Yeah. You can't move the needle. I'm serious, man. People make fun of you. Like my stepdad is, you know, he's an older man and he already hates technology anyway. But like when I would go up there to visit with my mom and my stepdad, I go up there and I type in right when I got through eating. That was my routine. I just typed in what I ate. He goes, "What are you doing? You're Googling what you eat?" Oh yeah, you got to Google that Reese's cup. Oh, you got to Google that pretzel. You know, I do. If I want to take it seriously, I got to see a big picture, even if I go over.
Yep. And man, it's so like. The thing about it is, let me first say that this doesn't have to be your first step. If you're hearing us saying this and you've, you know, thinking about going ahead and turning off this podcast, like because you hate that, that's understandable. And this doesn't have to be your first step. I like it as a first step. If I bring somebody on as a client, I will always have them do this for at least like 2 weeks. You know, and if they enjoy it and they can get into the rhythm, we keep on with it. But otherwise, like we do it for the first 2 weeks and then kind of move on. But that's because I need to understand like what their food is in order for me to give them a good first step. It wouldn't make any sense for me to say, hey, you know, have more protein if they're already having 250 grams of protein a day.
That's
right. You know what I mean? Like I need to know what they're having. So, but what I find is like the people who stick with it for a little while are the ones who start to understand, like, just like you just said, how, like where their calories are coming from. And so, there are a ton of ways that you can be in a caloric deficit under that total daily energy expenditure without tracking calories. Like keto works for some people, because if they are already on a high carb diet, so like they're having, you know, especially if they're having like the simple carbs, like things like sodas and candy and chips and all that kind of stuff. If you go keto, you have eliminated so many calories from your diet by default, just by eliminating that whole category, you know, of carbs, like, you know, having like 30 carbs max a day or whatever that means. Like, so, I mean, you've cut all that kind of stuff out. And so those people are going to lose weight. They're going to go into a caloric deficit. And then they're, you know, the process of ketosis is a real thing. So it can accelerate fat loss a little if you are truly on a ketogenic diet. But other people who go keto have no success with it because they already don't eat a lot or don't consume a lot of that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So like, even though they're going keto, they're not making a huge diet change. So they don't see a lot of results, or they see minimal results compared to somebody else. It really is about the caloric deficit. There's so many ways to get to that. But finding a first
It really
step,
is. And one of the, yeah. it is. And one of the, a book that I read on this subject, he made the case, and he used, and what I love about this book that I read, I can't remember the title of it, but if I remember it, I'll tell you or email it to you, and you can share it. But he was sharing statistics of a guy that all he did, he knew his total daily energy expenditure, and seriously ate nothing but Twinkies. And he lost body fat.
Yeah.
You know, that was his diet. So like for me, I still have Honey Graham crackers, you know, or I'll still have pretzels with lunch, you know, I'll still have this or that. I mean, and they're carb heavy, you know, but not all my snacks are beef jerky, man. You know?
Yeah.
It's heavy protein, but you know, sometimes I do have Pringles and I have a bag of chips or a Snickers bar, you know, I can have all that stuff and still count my calories, quote unquote, and still be successful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true, man. And I mean, with the, you know, the first step for somebody like, you know, talking nutritionally, I mean, if you're doing like a resistance training program, the first step for almost everybody is adding more protein. It's not cutting out sodas. It's not doing any of that kind of stuff. And what you'll find with the food, and I'm not going to get too far off track with this, but what you'll find with the food is the better strategy for the majority of people is to add in a ton of nutritious foods, things like, you know, like meats and like vegetables and like fruits. And don't even tell yourself there's nothing you can't, don't even tell yourself like I can't have any, like don't say there's anything like that. You know what I mean? Don't eliminate anything. Just fill your diet, like buy these things and have them at your house and like pack them for lunch and have like so many like meats and fruits and veggies and things like that, that you are going to, number one, you're going to feel better, you're going to sleep better, you're going to recover better from your workouts, all that kind of stuff. But you're also not going to have as much room for all these other, for all the other things. And so what that does is it allows you to give time, give yourself, like, you know, if you now, like, if I, you know, if I go somewhere, if I go somewhere tonight and I, you know, all that's there is pizza or whatever, I'm going to have that. I'm not going to care, you know, because like, I know the rest of the day I've eaten this other stuff. You know what I mean? And like, I know tomorrow I'm going to eat that other stuff too. And then if tomorrow,
but you know what's really good is that even when you eat pizza, there's still protein.
Yeah,
and there's
still
carbs.
It's true, man.
There's still fat.
Yes.
You know, I'll say this, and this is a big secret for me. Like, if you're one of your audience members is like picky, like, I can eat grilled chicken, but man, you get sick of grilled chicken quick.
Not a big fan.
And
of
so.
It.
And my brother hates it because he's like, eat like a lion. Lions don't eat chicken.
But, yeah.
but you know, if he's trying to get lean, he would.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
You know, what I do, what my wife found this secret recipe, and I'm going to share it with you.
Okay.
I could sell it for millions of dollars, but it's really simple. you basically grill your chicken in a skillet like you normally would. Throw half a can of Rotel in there. Not the cheese, just the Rotel can. Mm-hmm. The juice and all. And you let that simmer, and the chicken's all done. It's soaked in all the juices of the Rotel. It's got the diced tomatoes and stuff in it.
Yeah.
And then you coat it in a little bit of white Poncho's cheese dip, and that's your fats.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of fat, but it's fat. It's good fat,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And, man, you simply got – you've got your lean protein that's not high in calories.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, you know, something that's actually kind of tasty. Oh, taco seasoning too. Taco seasoning
nice.
In there.
Yes.
Man, it's wonderful. It tastes just like you've got, you know, chicken and cheese and rice at the Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
Minus the rice, of course. But
yeah,
minus the rice. You know, that's discipline and enjoying something. You know, like seriously, I can actually crave that and know I'm eating a 400 calorie meal. If I eat a tortilla with it, I got maybe a 650 calorie meal.
Yeah.
That I can rest easy with my conscience knowing this is benefiting me, and it's actually good.
Yep, very true, man. And it really does come back to you can be disciplined with that because of something. Not that you couldn't otherwise, but it's a lot easier to be disciplined with it because these are things you found that you enjoy. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And it doesn't happen, you know.
Because you know what the alternative is? Mark Wahlberg said that if you want to get lean, eat a bunch of grilled chicken. And he said he got so sick of it once that he actually just started blending it and drinking it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Because it's the only way. You know, he's saying it's the only way to really lean yourself.
Yeah.
So, for what they're doing, which I'm not trying to look like Mark Wahlberg.
No. I mean, right now, like, full transparency, my life is so hectic. Like, I've never been in I have had rhythms for years now. Like, because my schedule, even as I've had different jobs and things like that, my schedule has always been pretty similar. And so I found myself in a place where I have to change with the rhythms that I already had. So like, I knew kind of times a day I was going to like have my protein. I knew the exact time, like I was going to be working out, like all this kind of stuff. Now suddenly being like completely self-employed, my schedule is wide open and I have like, you know, I'm working like 70 plus hours a week and I'm like, you know, and it's all like coaching and like some of the furniture stuff I'm doing, all that is like, it's completely contingent on other people's schedules. So like, it's like, okay, you're available at this time. This is when we'll set this up. You know what I mean? And so like, so I can at any moment be pulled away from what I'm doing to go do something else, you know? And I'm working to like find more and more systems to get like that. And I have already come a long way and like creating systems to keep that under control. But still there are days where it's like, you know, normally I would start working out at about 5 o'clock and there are days where it's like six o'clock and I'm still out, you know, and I've been home able to work out yet. And there are other times that like I've been working like five, 6 hours and I realize I haven't eaten, like I haven't eaten anything. And that's just not normal for me. And so like I have been some days, just being honest, like 2-3 protein shakes a day. Like that is not what I recommend to people on a typical basis, but like I do not have like the time right now to sit down, and I'm a slow eater anyway, man. Like I'm always the last person done. So like,
I wish I had that curse.
Like, I eat a lot, though. It doesn't keep me from eating more. It's just like, I'm just,
bro, you throw a large pizza at me and it is gone.
Really?
It's gone. And it's like a contest in my mind of how can I completely eat this large pizza by myself in the quickest amount of time possible.
Yeah,
man. Oh, and don't forget the cheese sticks too. Hey,
yeah, just throw them over here. Oh, are you finished with that? Yeah,
I mean, that's how gluttony happens.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I mean, but chicken breast for me, it's like somebody hit the like slow motion like half speed button. Still, like me is already a slow eater. You put like a big like 40 grams of protein chicken breast in front of me, and it's gonna take me like 30-40 minutes to eat that thing. Like, I'm a slow eater, so like right now I we have dinner like as a family sitting down together, but that's the only meal where I'm like sitting down to like just actually like stop and enjoy the food. The rest of the time I'm just like trying to like get enough protein and eat enough to where I'm not gonna like feel sick, you know. And I'm very much in like a maintain mode right now, and I'm slowly easing back into like a bulk up phase. But like it's weird, man. It's given me kind of like a, you know, whereas before I would sometimes get to a place where I was like, okay, we've got to get like this person to a place where they can find their rhythms and things like that. And this has been a huge reminder for me of like how hard it can be when your life is absolute chaos to like find these kind of rhythms and find these kind of things that you enjoy. So what would you say, like, as we kind of wrap up here, what would you leave people with, like, some kind of action steps here if they're feeling overwhelmed with all this and they're like, where do I start? Like, what's something you would kind of leave them with?
Well, in the I'll put it in two categories. In exercise, show up. Show up. You know, there's a book I want to recommend. I mean, he's not a believer, and it's coming from a secular background, but it's relatively clean, and it's a good book, and it's objective. Mm-hmm. But it's by Chael Sonnen, the former UFC fighter. He's got a book called The 4-Pack Revolution, and it's built upon the premise of you want to aim for just a 4-pack, not a 6-pack, not an 8-pack. You just want a 4-pack, man. That's all you need to aim for, and that's a healthy lifestyle. But that, you know, just showing up. And he used an illustration of how he got a guy walking and running with him, and he said literally the first goal was just spend a week coming out of in the driveway with his tennis shoes on, with his coffee and going back in, and how that slowly built up and snowballed. So, you know, show up, download the MyFitnessPal app, just start tracking your calories, set deadlines for those. Be like, hey, I'm going to show up at the gym, and I'm going to do whatever I can, and I'm going to go home in 30 minutes. You know, I'm going to do that for like 3 weeks, and see how I feel and reassess and make new goals.
Yep.
You know, just consistently do that, and that's how you build that up over time.
Yeah.
You know, for exercise, I would say just, you know, like show up. And another thing I didn't talk about a whole lot, but
yeah, go for it.
You know, the heavy bag thing, you know, that's something that I really enjoy. And it's the way I do it, it qualifies as that high intensity interval training, I think is what it's called. The HIIT cardio.
Yeah.
You know, it's, dude, I do 5 3-minute rounds where I'm just all out, and I've got an Apple Watch, so it tells me what my heart rate is, and I stay. So easily I stay in that target zone.
Yeah.
By the time I'm through, man, I'm wore out. And I'm good wore out. You know, I'm really like going home like, man, that was a good exercise.
Yeah.
And I really love it because it's technical and it's something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Nobody has to motivate me to do that. I'm motivated already, even when I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody finds that, man, don't feel guilty for that, because there's even some guys at the gym, like when I'll do my leg day, I'll do my squats, leg presses, and then when I run through, I go to the heavy bag, start wrapping my wrist.
Yeah.
And I've had some guys that worked out with me that are, you know, the meatheads, you know. They're like, bro, you ain't going to do the calf workouts. Bro, you're done? You're done? You know, that's the only way I can categorize them. Like, I come in, and I'm through in 45 minutes, and I'm going home.
Yeah.
When I'm in there and I come in and they've been there before I am, and then I leave before they leave, it's kind of awkward. And, but I'm resting at peace, 'cause I know I've done everything that I've aimed to do.
Yeah.
And be satisfied with that, man. You're not to impress anybody, and
you're
just wanting to be healthy. You want to be healthy, and you got to define that, but you want to be healthy.
Yeah.
Two.
Absolutely.
With the nutrition, man, just, you know, same thing, same principles, you know, just making sure that, you know, you just watch what you eat, and you use MyFitnessPal as an objective accountability partner. It's not going to lie to you, but it's also going to encourage you too, in the same vein. Yeah. So,
yeah,
I love being able to look back at a year's worth of records in my FitnessPal app and just going, man, I can tell where I really did not watch what I ate. And then I can go back and say, man, I was disciplined. What was I doing that was different? And I look back and I'm going, man, I did it before. There's no reason I can't do that again. And yeah. So I've had weak moments. I've had weak seasons, but I've had strong seasons too, man.
Yeah.
And So just knowing that I'm standing on the other side of the fence for some of the people that are listening. And let me just tell you, from a person that tends to be slothful, tends to be lazy, loves to be lazy at times,
yeah,
that, man, if I seriously, I know it's cliche, but if I can do it, bro, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it.
So true,
and,
man.
And I can't – I'll say this in closing, too, as every preacher says. 30 minutes later. You know, listen, man, prayer is first and foremost that, you know, a lot of pastors have told me, well, you know, I don't know why I use this voice, but this is how I hear it. You know, you know, Paul said that physical discipline is only, you know, has a limit of beneficial.
Only of some use.
Of some use. But, you know, spiritual discipline.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but that doesn't justify drinking gravy, man.
Yeah.
You know. You know, if I think, and I'll say this as a pastor, if a lot of the people that are listening, if you're a pastor and you start to noticeably lose weight and your body looks different and transformed, you will notice a lot of the men in your church will go, man, you know, if he can do it, I should be doing that. And and I'm seeing how much he's different, and it leads, which is what we're called to do. And I think it sets an example that we want to set, is that we know how to discipline our minds and our bodies and make them our slave, like Paul said, you know. And this, the exercise discipline and everything else plays into so many other disciplines that are spiritual related. You know, getting up early, having quiet time, making it meaningful, being prayerful, spending time with your kids that's meaningful and, you know, that's outside related, being able to jump on the trampoline without being winded, you know. Or fetch a baseball without going, you go get it this time. You're the small one. And, you know, just little things like that. That picking up tires that your wife needs to put on her car and loading them up, you can do that without getting winded, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of benefits that come along with it too.
It is, man. And that's not, you know, I think sometimes just a few things came to mind as you said that, as we kind of wrap up here. I think that – there I am saying it for the second time. That's my second time saying
we're laying in the plane, Brandon.
I think that you know, it's really easy to kind of think of the working out or the eating well, like really just taking care of like physical fitness as like, it's easy to think of it as like just your, like something that affects only you. And so it almost feels like a martyr thing to do, to kind of put it like, kind of bump it back, you know, get in the back seat and like, I'm gonna, you know, all these other things take priority. But all the things you just mentioned and so many more are proof that it doesn't just affect you, you know, it affects people around you in a lot of ways. And so think, if you can kind of make that little mindset shift of like, it's not just a me thing, there are reasons I should prioritize this. I think about it in a similar way of like, you know how like the flight attendants on the plane tell you to like put your gas mask on and before you put it like on the kids or whatever, because like if you pass out, you're not going to be able to help them. I kind of think about like your fitness in the same kind of way, you know, like if you aren't your best, like you are, you know, there are a lot of things that people around you are not going to be at their best in as well. Yeah. Especially.
Well, and it goes back to
exactly.
If somebody gets energized by leadership, they should be energized about this, because it's an aspect of leadership. Just like what my brother said on the beach. Man, if you're trying to tell me something really important about my soul, but you can't control your eating, you know, look at your body. You know, man, I'm not going to listen to you. And you know what he's saying? He's saying what every unbelieving person that attends our church and listens to our sermons thinking, more than likely.
Yeah.
If they're coming there, they're thinking that, I promise you.
Yeah.
And to avoid that is just to avoid, you know, to just put your head in the sand, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I wanna say this too, like I try to take care in making sure that people don't feel as though like just we're only talking about people who are overweight. You know what I mean? People
Correct.
Who are overweight are unhealthy in a lot of ways, but there are also a lot of like pastors who may be underweight who are also unhealthy. Like for me, that was, you know, that was my journey. Like I was like I was like 135 pounds. Like just like 9 years ago when my wife and I got married, like, I'm like 185 now, about the same body fat percentage. Like, and that's taken me a long time. I'm not somebody who's like, it has an easy time like building muscle and stuff like that. I have to like grind at it to like make it happen. I'm still working on my poor calves, man.
But, like, oh man.
You know, I think that that's just like, you know,
Can I add something to
that? Yeah.
When you said that, this came to my mind too, because I'm glad you brought that up. That's very mindful of you, honestly, and because it's easy to beat on overweight people, because that's what our goal is, to not be overweight.
Right.
But, you know, one of the greatest things I heard from another guy that's been on the other side of this that we're aiming for, being fit and in shape, he said, man, let me give you a caution. Don't fall in love with your body.
Yeah.
You know, because if you do, that's where adultery comes in, and that's where fornication comes in.
Yeah.
Because if you fall in love with how you look, because, I mean, to be honest, I've had a big transformation, and it's easy. It's easy to look at that and just go, wow, look at that, man. And it's in subtle ways, people that you see in society and culture and also in your own communities, man, it's subtle. And Satan can use that too.
Yep.
He really can.
Absolutely, man.
Sorry to bring us down on a Debbie Downer note.
No, man, you know. That's not. I mean, that's, you know, let's just, you know, Satan's out there. Let's end it here.
I think that,
last couple of quick things I want to just kind of say in response to what you said. Like you said, the guy, like, who is it, the former MMA fighter that wrote the book that had people,
Chael
like,
Sonnen.
Yeah, so he will have, you know, like, I've actually had people do something similar where, like, I'll have them drive to the gym each day that they're supposed to work out and, like, with their stuff and, like, just go to the parking lot. Like, that's their step for the day. Like, go there. You know what I mean? And one day you're going to go in. You know, one day you're going to think about it and be like, I'm already here. I've had other people who are already okay going into the gym, but just, like, feel like, oh, I don't have time for this, or I don't have, like, the willpower to really push through a whole workout. I've had some people go into the gym and do one lift a day. Like, they'll go in and they'll do a warm-up and three sets of bench press. A warm-up, the next day they'll do a warm-up and three sets of squats. You know what I mean? And then they leave. Like, they don't even hit the heavy bag. Like, they just leave, you know?
That's a win, man.
It is. And so I think that if you can just get out of your head this all-or-nothing mindset that society and culture, like, throws on you, then you can really kind of, like, start to make progress. And I'll be honest, like, for me, I don't care much what people think anymore. Like, I used to care a lot what people thought. Like, and it really crippled me. But then I moved, not just with fitness, but with everything. Like, people were like, when we moved to New York, there was a lot of, like, pushback on that. When we left New York to come to Kansas City with nothing, like, no, like, plans here yet, like, there was pushback on that. When I started putting a lot of fitness content out there, like, out of the blue, like, it was literally one day, like, I don't know, 2.5-3 years ago, like, I never posted to Facebook, and then suddenly, like, I'm blowing up Facebook with, like, fitness stuff. There was a lot of, like, in my head, like, people are gonna think, what is happening? Like, this guy's, so I just, like, did a little disclaimer, and I was so nervous, like, it sounds weird, but I was just so nervous about that, because suddenly, like, it's like I'm, like, putting myself, like, on a level of, like, an expert or something. I'm writing articles and making videos and stuff like that. And the truth is, I mean, I had been researching and studying this stuff for myself for like 10 years at this point, but it was, and, you know, people who were, like, close to me knew that, and, like, I would help them here and there with fitness stuff, but it wasn't like, you know, nobody knew me as this. And so there, and then, you know, like, there are so many different things like that. And now, choosing not to continue in, like, corporate America, but to, like, really pursue this, like, fitness coaching thing from, like, the ground up, like, it sounds crazy, and maybe it's stupid, but, like, I've just become jaded. Like, I don't care, like, if somebody thinks what I'm doing is stupid, you know, because I put a lot of, like, prayer and thought and, like, searching God's word and, like, seeking counsel from, like, godly people I trust and long discussions with my wife and all this kind of stuff into these decisions. And so when I make one, it's not, I don't make decisions slow, like, quick. I don't make decisions quickly. I don't make decisions lightly. And I know that sometimes I make the wrong decisions, but I don't, like, unless you were coming at me with God's word to, like challenge me and make me realize, like, something that I'm doing something outside of that, like, I just don't care. Like, and so,
yeah,
I think you kind of have to, that's something that doesn't just happen automatically, obviously, but, you know, there's all this stuff out there that can, that makes you feel like less than, like, you don't feel comfortable at the gym, you don't feel comfortable, you know, really trying to pursue this. And like you said, I mean, people are going to give you a hard time about this. Like, and honestly, like, a big reason people give you a hard time about it is because you doing it makes them feel guilty for not doing it. You know what I mean? And so, like,
and plus, man, I think here we are trying to land the plane.
It's about to crash.
But, you know, it's one of those things too. You always have to analyze where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're saying that because most of the guys that are saying that to me when on my way out are single men. And, it's me and my wife and my son walking out, and we got to make dinner, and we got to have quiet time together, devotions, and, you know, we got to have our time together too. So, man, you're right. You just have to, and that's a discipline you have to have. I'm going to have to weather some criticism. I'm going to have to weather some skeptics, but you know what? I've made up my mind.
Yeah.
And it's like Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. And so Paul's been crucified with Christ, and now it's Christ who lives in me. Not that that directly applies to weightlifting, but, you know, overall, it's that mindset of, hey, I'm doing what I think or what I'm convicted is right, and what I should be doing out of obedience and fear of the Lord.
Yeah,
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that.
Definitely. Well, man, let's crash the plane here, Jared. I appreciate
it. Let's crash it, man.
Dude, I really appreciate the time. Anything you want to leave us with before we hit the end button here?
Hey, man, just persevere is the biggest word. That's the word that Jesus left on this earth with. Just he who perseveres to the end will be saved. It's about perseverance, man, not perfection. That's the biggest thing.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. I enjoyed it, man.
Me too, man.
Hey, quick reminder, Pastors Getting Fit Facebook page, if you'd like a little free community there, people on the journey with you, review this wherever you listen to podcasts, and maybe share it with another pastor who you think might benefit from it, in a loving way, of course. And if you think you might be interested in online coaching, somebody to kind of help you figure out what to do and help you stick to it, 251-635-8055. That's my number. Shoot me a text. We'll set up a time to call. Hope you have a good day. Hope you enjoyed this episode.